Praise the Lord, and we'll stand for our final hymn tonight. Let's grab our Bible, grab our hymnals, and open up to 32. Hymn 32. How many of you knows tonight that you are a soldier and you are in an army?
Oh, yes, I am.
Amen. Some of you do. Some of you do. Praise the Lord. Yes, we are. We indeed, we're soldiers of the Lord, and we're in the Lord's army. If we're saved, we're in the Lord's army. And we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting in victory. Amen? The victory's already won. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting in victory. Glory. I love that. All right. On with Christian soldiers. We're going to sing first, the third, and the fourth. Praise the Lord.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see the banner grow. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army, moves the Church of God, brothers with the wings have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Amen. Please be seated, church. Great singing tonight. What a blessing to know that I am in the Lord's army and that the battle is already won because Jesus Christ won it for me. Well, praise the Lord, folks. We're back tonight, of course, in our studies of the tribulation period. And I'd ask you tonight to open up your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation, chapter 13 tonight. Now, whoever is not here tonight, that you know is not here, I want you to tell them this week to listen to tonight's message on the website. Reason being, tonight I'm going to show you something you've probably never seen before concerning the mark of the beast. We got this thing figured out, I'll tell you right now. The mark of the beast, it's all along, it's been right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, they put it in
black and white. And I'm going to show you that tonight, but we got a couple things to get to first before we do. Now, tonight is, for the sound man, tonight is part 11, week 11 of our studies on the tribulation period. And the events of the midpoint of the tribulation period is what we are looking at currently. There are 16 events that will take place during the midpoint of the tribulation period. Once we complete our examination of the midpoint of the tribulation period, of course, we will study the last 42 months. That's when all hell breaks loose on earth, literally. So here tonight, we come to the 13th chapter of Revelation. We've examined already, beloved, 8 of the 16 events that must transpire during that middle portion. Tonight, we come to the 9th event. The 9th event of the midpoint of the tribulation period will be the worldwide worship of Antichrist being instituted. Look with me in Revelation chapter 13. We're going to see that this is the point, 42 months into the tribulation period, where Antichrist demands universal worship. And if you don't go on with the program, off with the head. Literally. Chapter 13, verse 3, we read, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death." That's an assassination takes place. The Antichrist is killed. "And his deadly wound was healed. He rose from the dead by satanic power. And all the world wondered after the beast." And they what?
Worshipped
the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Notice that, we'll be coming back to that. "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given over him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Wow. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints." Beloved, let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this passage tonight and how incredible it is. And Lord, how horrifyingly shocking it is to think that this world will wonder after the beast. They'll fall down on their knees and worship the dragon, the devil. How sad is that, Lord, when it is possible for all peoples of planet Earth to worship the Son of God in truth and by the Spirit of truth. But Lord, we know that Satan is a deceiver. And the Bible says that he will deceive the whole world. That is, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. And Father, we thank you tonight that ours are written down. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those of us who are born again, saved by the blood of Christ, our names are written in that precious book of life. We thank you for that tonight, and we ask you to bless your word, Lord, that we may learn and warn the lost before it's too late, and they find themselves in this horrific time period. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Beloved, after the world sees the counterfeit resurrection of Antichrist from the dead occur, the inhabitants of planet Earth will begin to bow down and worship the Antichrist as the king of the world. It will be one universal government which he will head up, one universal religion which he will head up, and they will worship him, literally. Look at verse 3. "And I saw as it was one of his heads wounded to death, his deadly wound was healed, and all the world," notice that, "all the world wondered after the beast." That means they admired him. They worshipped him. Now notice who else they worship. Look at verse 4. "And they worshipped the dragon." Somebody tell me, who's the dragon? That would be Satan, Mark. That's right. That's the devil. They're devil worshippers. You see this? During the tribulation period, we've got a bunch of devil worshippers. Hey folks, we've got devil worshippers today. Oh, they're all over the place. Witchcraft is on the rise. The occult. I mean, it's everywhere, folks. But look at, they worship the dragon, which gave the power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" They ask this question, who is able to overcome our master? I'll tell you who. They don't know yet, but they're going to find out real quick. Listen, folks, Satan has always sought to be worshipped because he envied the worship of God in heaven when he was the anointed cherub. Go to Isaiah 14. You know, hold your place in Revelation. We're coming back. In Isaiah 14, did you know that Satan was once in heaven and that he was the worship leader in heaven? Oh, yeah. Look at this. He was a gloriously beautiful angelic cherub. In Isaiah chapter 14, we see what happened to him. Why he fell. He wanted what God was getting. Worship. Look at it. In Isaiah chapter 14, look at verse number 12. Don't miss this. Verse 12 we read, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, he's going to tell you why he fell. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Those are angels. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Look at verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. God says, I got news for you, buddy. You think you're going to get you think you're going to exalt your throne above my throne? You think you're going to become me? He's always wanted to be God. See? The devil understands that God is worshipped in spirit and in truth, and that's what he wants. So during the tribulation period, he's going to receive homage. He's going to be worshipped by all the world. Notice also what comes out of his mouth. Verse 5. Back in Revelation 13, look at verse 5. What comes out of his mouth? And there was given unto him a mouth. Somebody said the devil's a big mouth. Yeah, he is. Look at it. Speaking great things and blasphemies. Now, notice the word blasphemies in verse 5. That's what he speaks. He blasphemes the name of God. Go with me to John chapter 8. Hold your place again. John chapter 8. Jesus warned the Jews about this character, Satan, and what he wants and what he does. Look at it. In John chapter 8, look with me at verse 44. Jesus says to a bunch of religious people who weren't saved. They thought they were going to heaven. They weren't. Jesus says, verse 44, ye are of your father the who?
Devil.
Oh, man, that's a rude thing to say. Isn't that mean? Oh, that's not nice. He told them the truth. Amen? The best thing you can do is tell somebody the truth. And ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He, who's the he? Satan was a murderer from the beginning. What's that mean? It means he committed genocide. Spiritual genocide against the human race. He murdered our race spiritually when he deceived Eve in the garden. He was a murderer. Also, it refers to the murder of Abel by Cain, okay, who was of that wicked one. From the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. Notice Jesus says he once was in the truth. Satan was once of the truth without sin. You see that? But he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus says, anything that comes out of his mouth is a lie, because he's the father of lies. He's a blasphemer, and he's a liar, and he's a deceiver, and he's a murderer. Okay, back to Revelation chapter 13. Notice the duration of his evil reign. Don't miss this. Verse 5. Notice the duration. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 42 months, that's 3.5 years, that's 1260 days. Oh, yeah, yeah, last half of the tribulation period, right? That is the last half of Daniel's 70th week. Now, next observe his threefold target of blasphemy. It's threefold. Verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against, count them, God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. There's three targets of his blasphemy. Listen, that's God, number one. Jesus Christ. Number two, heaven, his tabernacle, his dwelling place. And number three, the inhabitants of heaven. That's the saints. That's the saints. He has bad things to say about us. Now go with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Let's see this as he when he does this. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, look with me at verse number 3. Speaking of the Antichrist, watch what he does. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of the Lord, shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That's apostasy. We're seeing it in the world today, folks. And that man of sin, the beast, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You see that? He wants to be God, and he wants to be worshipped. As God is worshipped, he will be during the tribulation period. Next, notice his attack upon all true believers. Back to Revelation 13. Look at verse 7. His attack upon all true believers. And it was given unto him to make war. With who?
The saints.
The saints. Question, church. Which saints is that talking about?
Tribulation.
That's right. That's right, Carl and Tim. Tribulation period saints who accept Jesus Christ, refuse the mark of the beast. They are the ones that he's making war with. Look at it, verse 7. To make war with the saints and to overcome them. God's going to allow him to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Wow. He's going to run the show. For 42 months, he's going to rule the world. That's going to be the day of his glory. And oh, he thinks he's going to have it forever, but he's wrong. He's wrong. Now, notice here in verse number 7 that true believers of the tribulation period will be allowed by God to be overcome by the Antichrist. And when he overcomes them, you see, what he's going to do is execute them. He's going to execute them because they will refuse his mark. The guillotine will be back. And they probably won't even use a guillotine. You know, these ISIS terrorists, they don't bother, they just use a knife. Go to Daniel chapter 7. Hold your place in Revelation again. Daniel chapter 7. I want you to see this very thing we just read Daniel speaks of. In Daniel chapter 7. Companion book to Revelation. Indispensable. The book of Daniel is indispensable when you study Revelation. Look in chapter 7 of Daniel. Look with me at verse 24. Chapter 7 verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom. Look at it. Are 10 kings that shall arise. Now we study that. That's the 10 geographical areas of planet Earth during the tribulation period. There'll be 10 leaders over those 10 areas, right? That's the 10 kings. Clearly. And another shall rise after them. That's the Antichrist. And he, the Antichrist, shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. We saw that last week. He assassinates 3 of the leaders, right? And he shall speak great words against the Most High. That's God. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. There's that word again, saints. What saints? Tribulation period saints, as Kyle said. And think to change times and laws. Hey, we got somebody changing laws right now in the White House. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of a time. That's 3.5 years, folks, in Bible language. A time is 1 year, times is 2, and a dividing of a time is 6 is half a year. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom, and the dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to who?
The people.
The people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. See, he says, yes, the Antichrist is coming. Yes, he'll have a kingdom for 42 months. And then an eternal kingdom gets set up by the Son of God, which will last forever. Glory to God. Next, back in Revelation, observe the universality of this beast worship. Verse 8. And what's the next word? All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, this clearly shows us that during the tribulation period, the whole world will worship the Antichrist. Why? He'll have, listen to me, he'll have satanic miracle working power. In other words, he'll be able to work miracles, call fire down from heaven, levitate things, all kinds of garbage, but it's by demonic power, not by God's power. And those miracles will deceive the world into thinking, he must be Jesus. He'll probably even call himself Jesus. Who knows? But look here. The universality is all the world, verse 8. Next, notice the reason why they will be deceived. Verse 8. Because their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, slain from the foundation of the world. Folks, listen. There's only one reason why folks will worship the beast, the Antichrist, and be deceived. They're not saved. And when you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit, and you have discernment, and you will not ever worship the beast. But these folks, they have not the Spirit of God. Their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life because they didn't get saved. All right, something else. Go with me back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Why? Why do they worship the beast? Look at, I'm going to show you why. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, don't miss this. Look with me at verse 9. Here's the reason why they're deceived by the Antichrist and the devil, the dragon. Look at it. Verse 9. Even him, Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of who? Satan. Verse 9. With all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Time out, Paul. Why do they perish? The context is clearly the tribulation period. The Antichrist is reigning. Look at it. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Folks, listen to me. The only reason anyone perishes today is because they will not receive the love of the truth, which is Jesus Christ. If you refuse to receive him, guess what? You'll perish. You'll be eternally separated from your Maker. Never be able to gaze upon his loving eyes. Never be able to embrace him and kiss his feet and worship him. You'll be separated from him forever. Why? For not receiving the love of the truth, that they might be saved. But look at verse 11. And for this cause, because they refuse the truth, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. You see that in verse 11? God is going to allow them to be folks, you've got to get hold of this. The tribulation period is a time of judgment upon this Christ-rejecting world. And God is going to allow these people to be deceived by the devil because they refused his son. Look at it, verse 12. Why? That they all might be what? Damned. That's a Bible word, folks. That means damnation. That means burning in the lake of fire. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They said, not only do I refuse to get saved, but I'm going to get all the gusto I can while I'm alive. I'm going to sin and party and live it up. Well, go ahead. Good luck with that. It's not going to work out too good in the end for you, you know. But this is why they're deceived. Back to Revelation. Because they refused the truth, which is Jesus Christ. Notice finally, under our first event, the special promise to the tribulation period believers. Look at verse 9 of Revelation 13. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Time out, church. Did you know that some people don't have ears?
Yeah, they don't have eyes either.
That's right. Some people don't have eyes in their sockets either. You got it. You got it, man. No ears. There are three types of people in the world. People that don't have ears, they're earless. People that have ears, but they can't hear with them, they're deaf. And then people who have ears and they hear. Three types of people. I preached that one time in Colorado. They were cracking up. Preachers have people with no ears, you know. They're trying to picture this. Look here, in verse number 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. God is sending a special encouraging message to the tribulation period saints right there in verse 10. He says, boys, don't worry. Those who are persecuting you now, I'm going to persecute them. When I let my hammer fist down on their heads, it's going to crush them like grapes in the wine press. You know, not a pretty picture. God is encouraging the people during the tribulation period not to worship him, not to take his mark, and to trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? Even unto death. Now, to our second event, which is our tenth event of the midpoint of the tribulation period, is the ministry of the false prophet. Back to Revelation 13. We have the ministry of the false prophet. Who's he? Look with me in verse number 11. Revelation 13, verse 11. And I beheld, notice the chronological sequence of events. We're studying them in the order in which I believe they will occur during the 7 years. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power and of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. There's a confirmation of his assassination and resurrection from the dead. You see that? At the end of verse 12, it says he died. A death wound is a death. Okay? And it was healed. Means he came back to life. Okay. And he doeth great wonders. Who? The false prophet. The second beast. He doeth great wonders. He has satanic miracle working power. That's why, folks, all these people in these charismatic churches, Pentecostal churches, we want signs and wonders and miracles. Hey, you ever hear of faith? You ever hear of faith? You know the devil can impersonate God's miracles? Some of them. Let me qualify that. And he can deceive people by it. You don't need to speak in tongues, and you don't need to see cones levitate, and you don't need all these fire coming down from heaven. All you need is this book right here. You believe what God says, and you live according to it. Look what he says here in verse 13. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he, look at it, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. What? Hold on. Hold your horses. We're going to get to it. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, here we have the ministry of the false prophet clearly outlined in chapter 13, 11 through 15. Listen carefully. We saw the false father, Satan, and the false son, Antichrist. But here, to complete the counterfeit satanic trinity, we have another personage called the false prophet, the second beast. He corresponds to the ministry of God's Holy Spirit. Okay? God's Holy Spirit causes men to worship who? Jesus Christ. Right? So the satanic spirit, the false prophet, will cause men to worship Antichrist. You see the pattern here, folks? It couldn't be any clearer than God has made it. But observe his description in verse 11. Look at it. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, false prophet. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Folks, listen to me. There's something wrong with this picture. Lambs don't have horns. Hello? You see that in verse 11? He's got devil's horns sticking out of his head. And he calls himself a lamb. And look what else it says. He spake as a dragon. He's demonic. He speaks like his father, Satan. But he appears as a lamb. But he's got those horns sticking out, giving them away. Kind of giving them away, you know. Now listen carefully, beloved. Lambs don't have horns coming out of their heads. And they don't speak like dragons. They just go, bah, 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 and they're real cute. Amen? This one's not. This one's ugly, and he's evil. Now, look with me in chapter 16. I want to show you this false prophet in action. Chapter 16, look at verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits, those are demons, like frogs, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the what?
False prophet.
False prophet. Second beast. That's the false prophet. It's the second beast. Look with me at verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles. You better watch out for these miracle workers, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Yeah, they're leading them to their destruction. See? They're deceiving demons. Go to chapter 19. We'll see him again, this false prophet in action. Verse 19 of chapter 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, it's Jesus Christ, and against his army. Fools, you'll never win that fight. And the beast was taken, and with him the who? False prophet. See it? The false prophet is being taken by the neck. Jesus Christ is grabbing hold, laying hold of him and casting him into the bottomless pit. See that in verse 20? The false prophet. And it says these both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Chapter 20. Let's see him one more time. Chapter 20. Look at verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. See, he's already there. When Satan arrives, false prophet's already there to greet him. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, by the way. I kind of like that part. Now, glory to God. That is the ministry of the false prophet. Next, observe what he will do, this false prophet, back in our text. In chapter 13, look at verse 12. Notice what he will do. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast. What will he do but cause the world to worship the Antichrist? That will be his main goal in life, to cause everybody to bow down, take his mark, and worship the beast. That's it. That's what he lives for. Now, just as the Holy Spirit lives to glorify the Son of God and to lead lost souls to him. Notice something else. This delegated authority comes to the false prophet after the counterfeit resurrection. Look at this. In verse number 12, it says, and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. You see that? His power and ministry comes after the Antichrist rises from the dead by satanic power. Okay. Secondly, notice that just as the Holy Spirit calls on men to worship the resurrected Son, this false prophet will call on men to worship the resurrected counterfeit Son. Verse 12 says, causes them to worship the beast. Observe also that in order to fully carry out the deception, the false prophet will have satanic power to work miracles and signs and wonders. You find that in verse 13. He doeth great wonders, making fire come down from heaven, deceiving them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, verse 14, which he had. Notice what he does next. After convincing the world to worship the beast, he commands that an image should be made of the beast. Look at verse 14. And it says, deceiveth them which dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had in power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make a what?
Image.
An image to the beast, and which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, here's what I want you to see. Someone asked me, they said, Pastor Oliver, what do you believe the image of the beast will be? I said, looked him in the eyes and I said, I believe it will be an image of the beast. Make sense? I believe the image of the beast will be an image of the beast. You know, sometimes, folks, we try to read into the King James Bible when all we need to do is read it and believe it. You know what John was seeing, I believe? How many of you got a high-def television? Most all of you got a high-def television, probably 42-inch, in your living room. And on that high-def television, you know what you get? You get images. You get images of living people. And they can move, and they can speak, and they can talk to you, can't they? That's an image. John did not know what a TV was. The only way he could describe what he was seeing was that this was an image of the beast. It wasn't the beast. Listen carefully. When you see Wolf Blitzer on CNN News, it's not Wolf Blitzer on your TV screen. It's an image of Wolf Blitzer. You see that? But look at what happens with this image of the beast. It's not the beast. It's an image of the beast. But verse 15 says, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak. You know what happens when you turn the volume up on your TV? The images on the screen speak audibly. Folks, I'm telling you. You know what the Antichrist is going to do? Listen to me. Listen to me. The Antichrist is not omnipresent. He's going to have a physical human body, just like Jesus did. The problem he'll have is speaking to everybody on planet Earth simultaneously. He can't be everywhere at the same time like God can. So what he'll do is he'll set up a worldwide satellite station. The Beast Channel. Hey, you get the Beast Channel? Not in my lineup, brother. Not in my lineup. Yeah, and they'll watch the beast. And he will command them over his own channel in live timing. That's why I said he lived, because he's actually speaking it as it's coming across the screen. That's what I see. We're not going to break fellowship if you disagree. Not at all. But that's what I'm thinking is happening here with this image of the beast. Now, listen, church. This was John's only way of describing. Okay, event number 11, and we'll be done. Event number 11 will be the mark of the beast. And this is what I want you to see tonight. The mark of the beast will be instituted in event number 11. Look at verse 16 of chapter 13. Verse 16 of chapter 13. And he, who is the he of verse 16? Wouldn't that be the false prophet of verse 15? Making them worship the beast? Yes, it is. It's the false prophet. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666. 666. What's that mean? Listen carefully, beloved. We know that, I believe the Lord showed me this week what this means, and it's clear as a bell. If some of you might not get this, so listen carefully. Listen carefully. We know that Satan is the master counterfeiter. And here, he will counterfeit the seal of the Holy Spirit on the foreheads of the saints with his own seal, the mark of the beast. Go with me to Revelation chapter 7. Hold your place in 13. We're coming right back. In chapter 7, look with me at verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending up from the east, having the what? Seal. Same Greek word for mark. Of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their what? Foreheads. Notice the location. In their foreheads. That's where Antichrist is going for his children. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, that's marked, and they were sealed, and 144,000 of all the tribes of children of Israel. Now back to chapter 13. This is what everything that Jesus Christ does, Antichrist imitates. Everything, including this mark. First of all, notice who will receive this mark. Verse 16. And he causeth, what's the next word? Did you see that? All the world, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will receive his mark. They'll be lining up to get it, you know?
I have a question.
Yeah, go right ahead.
The mark that God puts on us is on our forehead? Is that what
no.
you're saying?
No. No, that's 144,000, Jim.
Oh.
We've been raptured out before all this breaks out.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah, with the Lord in heaven. But, that's for sure, Marion. All, that is all those who want food to eat, water to drink, gas to drive, Obamacare, heat and electricity, and oh yeah, to worship the beast. It'll go something like this. I pledge allegiance to the beast and to the kingdom for which he stands. One kingdom under Antichrist and to the devil for which it stands. With justice and liberty for all those who receive his mark. Something like that will be the new pledge of allegiance. You see that? Now, look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 of chapter 13. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, listen carefully, church. This mark of the beast will serve as one's passport. And without it, you don't travel, you don't eat, you don't fill up your gas tank. Listen, but something else. Notice its location. Notice its location. Verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, every one of you right now may not know it. I'm going to shock you. But you right now, on your person, have what they call RFID chips. RFID chips, that's short for radio frequency identification data. Radio frequency identification data. They're little microscopic chips. They put them in your underwear, they put them in your shoes, they put them in your hat. And you know what happens? You have a receiver, a detector. And that detector can tell that machine, that person who's holding that machine, where you bought that hat, Marion. They can tell you how much you paid. Yep. How much you paid for it. It can tell them, it doesn't matter. If you pay cash, they'll still know from the chip where you got it at Walmart. Wherever you got it, okay? Now, let's go one step further. Let's say they take these little chips, right? It's got all this information about you, credit card information, your bank account information, everything. And they implant it under your skin. All they need is an infrared gun, run it over there, swipe it, and boom. You don't need a credit card. You got it right on you, in your skin. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm saying it's one possibility. Now, listen carefully. What these ones here won't be in your underwear. They'll be implanted under the skin, either on the back of the hand or in the forehead. Now, next we have the key to what this mark actually is. I want to show you the key to what it is. Look at verse 17 and follow me carefully here. Verse 17, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast. What? Or the number of his name. What? Did you catch that?
Yes.
Listen carefully now. In verse 17, notice the words he that had the mark or the name or the number. Of his name. Folks, this is going to shock you. But these three things are all the same thing. They're all the same. Let me explain. Look at verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the what?
The
count the number of the beast? Look at it. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. He didn't say count the name of the beast. He didn't say count the man. He said count the number. Look at it. Count the number of the beast. Now, we know the number is 666. It tells us in the same verse. But why is he saying to count the number? Let me explain. In verse 17 and verse 18, the Holy Spirit tells us what the mark of the beast is by giving us five clues. You have to have all five clues to get this. The name of the beast, look at your, while I read these five clues, look at verse 17 and 18. He gives us five clues. One, the name of the beast. Two, the number of his name. Three, the number of the beast. Four, the number of a man. 5, the number 666. Did you see it? Now, in order to understand what the mark of the beast actually is, we simply need to follow through this logical progression. Watch. The name of the beast is the number of his name. And the number of the beast is the number of a man. And the number of the beast's name is 666. Let me repeat that. The name of the beast is the number of his name. And the number of the beast is the number of a man. And the number of the beast's name is 666. Let me explain. The Antichrist will be the final ruler of the final form of the fourth world empire, Gentile empire. Remember Daniel's four beasts? Four beasts, they represented the four world empires. The final empire, which would be the Roman revived empire of the European Union, would be taken over by a mysterious personage, the beast. The Antichrist, right? Now, in John's day, who was ruling the world? Who was ruling the world in John's day? Who cast him out to the Isle of Patmos? Who crucified Jesus, church?
Rome!
Rome ruled the world. You all know that. In 1st century AD, Rome ruled the world. And under Roman rule, every name had a numerical value. But, God, I've heard guys try to work this under Roman numerals. God does not operate by Roman numerals. Listen to me. He operates by Hebrew numerals. Somebody's getting it. Listen to me. Each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. First and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, right? I am everything in between. So you've got 20, follow me. There's not 26 letters like our alphabet. There's only 22 in the Hebrew alphabet. And God does not go by Roman rule. He goes by Hebrew rule. Amen? So he's going by Hebrew numerical values. Now the numerical value attached to each letter of the Hebrew alphabet is you can Google it. You can look in your encyclopedia. It's common, the table is common knowledge. It hasn't changed in 4,000 years. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. The order of these 22 Hebrew letters in numerical value runs thus. Alpha equals 1. B, beta equals 2. C is 3, 4, I'm just going to name them. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 200, 300, and omega, 400. Did you see that? These numerical values are nothing in comparison with the Roman numerical values. They don't correspond at all, except for the very first one. A is 1. Okay? But now, listen to me. Let's take it one step further. Every single person in the world has a name in Hebrew. And your name in Hebrew has a numerical value attached to it. How? By counting, you take Val, V-A-L, Val. V, in the Hebrew alphabet, has a numerical value of 300. So right away, you got 300 points. Okay? We take the A, that's 1. We take the L, what's that, 40? You got 341 is Val's Hebrew numerical value. Everybody has a Hebrew numerical value in their name. Now, watch it carefully. For instance, Jesus Christ's name has the numerical value of 700. You're going to love this. You're going to love this. Jesus' name is 700 plus 7 sevens. That's 777, buddy. That's God's number of perfection thrice. Amen? The Antichrist's numerical value is 666. Now, here, whatever the personal name of Antichrist will be, let me just give it to you, is spelled in Hebrew, his numerical value will be exactly 666. So, this number will be part of the mark of the beast, of every person who receives it. I don't know if it'll be the first three numbers of his mark, the last three, or maybe bookends with one in the middle. I don't like our barcodes of today.
Yeah.
All barcodes have the same beginning, middle, and end. The same exact. In between, all the dashes are different lengths. Okay? This could be what he will do with six in the middle and six on the other end. I don't know. That part doesn't really matter. But listen carefully. It will be the first three numbers or the last three numbers or perhaps a combination with one in the middle. But we don't know that it will be a part of their personal ID chip. This we do know. Notice in verse 18 that those who are wise, when? What's the context of chapter 13? The tribulation period. Those who are wise and know the scripture during the tribulation period will be able to identify the Antichrist by simply using this formula, because his literal name will equal 666 in the Hebrew alphabet. Read verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. He's saying his name adds up to 666. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight. This is amazing. Lord, this insight. I am convinced, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has revealed to us that it will be easy for anybody finding themselves in the tribulation period to figure out who the Antichrist is by looking at the world leaders, the world dictators, and adding their Hebrew numerical values of their names. There's only going to be one, I believe, that will add up to 666. And that will be the beast, the Antichrist. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. It is so good. And Lord, it is so good to know the truth and to know that we will never suffer the wrath of God, the tribulation period, or the rule of Antichrist. You love us, Lord, because we're your bride. You will rapture us out before all this breaks loose. And we thank you for that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. We got 2 minutes before I got to take my daughter to work. So grab your hymnals.
I got a question for you.
Go right ahead, Timmy.
Is there any way that they could inject it? Chip into your skin by giving you a shot or something and not know it? Could you have the mark without knowing it?
No. You cannot receive that mark without knowing it because your will has to accept it. Even during the tribulation period, the free will of man is not eradicated, so as the Calvinists teach.
There's no way that they can force you into
no.
that mark.
They can't deceive you by giving you a shot with a chip in it that you don't know, then you'd have the chip, because you would not willingly have accepted Antichrist as your master. It has to be by the free will. So the answer is no, they can't.
Okay. Wait, how do you look that up? Is it in your...
Yeah, look with me for our final hymn. I'm sorry?
Pastor,
yeah.
I was talking to you tonight. I was going to ask about prayers for me, because I'm going to be in the hospital, but my heart, there's something.
Yeah, we need to pray for June. She needs to go to doctor next week. But before we...
Yes,
sister. Before we pray for her, let's open up our hymnals to 332. Yes, indeed, sis. We need to lift you up. 332. We'll finish up right on schedule here. Praise the Lord.
I can take your daughter to McDonald's.
Well, I could too, because
we're up in the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Hanover Street.
Yeah, for right here, that's all I'm
doing. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Oh. tomb. Oh, were you there when he rose up from the grave? Or were you there when he rose up from the grave?
Praise the Lord, folks. Let's have Timmy dismiss us in prayer, and then we're going to pray over June.
All right. That's up to you.
Go ahead, Tim.
Lord, thank you for letting us gather here, Tim, and for hearing your word, Lord God. And please help us, Lord God, in our daily walk. We all stumble, Lord, and we ask for your forgiveness. And
yes.
You lead us. Give us spiritual eyes and ears to hear and to see the things that you need us to hear and see, Lord. Thank you for the things you do for us, the things we know about and the things we don't know about.
Mm.
In the blood of your Son, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.